gay wedding is just like a straight wedding.
Is it okay to stand up and say, ew?
That would be homophobic.
This from the man who won't allow gay hymns at the gay wedding.
When you watch other people say their vows and they get all choked up, you think, come on.
Yeah.
Pull it together, man.
Really?
And then when you're standing there and it's you, you can't help but just get super duper choked up.
To whoever summoned the courage to stand up for justice, I truly thank you for the freedom I too often take for granted.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. The UN Human Rights Council blasts anti-LGBT bias, straight answers to queer marriage questions, and the Orange Boy sweetens Doogie's wedding. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Wenzel Jones.
And I'm Sarah Sweeney.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending September 27, 2014. The United Nations Human Rights Council approved a resolution on September 26th that condemns bias based on sexual orientation and gender identity. After surviving 7 hostile amendments from Egypt, the landmark declaration was approved by a vote of 21-16, with 7 abstentions and 1 absence. It asks the High Commissioner for Human Rights to update a 2012 study on LGBT-based violence and discrimination, and also expresses serious concerns about acts of violence and discrimination in all regions of the world committed against LGBT people. Chile, one of the resolution's co-sponsors, argued that it does not seek to create new rights. There are some whose rights are more violated and need more protection. Chile was joined by Brazil, Colombia, Uruguay, and 42 other co-sponsors that included the UK and the US. Noteworthy nations also voting for the resolution included Cuba, the Czech Republic, Romania, and the Republic of Korea. Led by Egypt, the opposition included Algeria, Ethiopia, Indonesia, Kenya, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and the Russian Federation. China and India were among the 7 abstentions. In a media statement celebrating the vote, Jessica Stern of the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission said that the UN Council had taken a fundamental step forward by reaffirming one of the United Nations' key principles, that everyone is equal in dignity and rights.
Clearly wanting to avoid the controversy that accompanied the Winter Olympics in Sochi earlier this year because of Russia's anti-gay laws, the International Olympic Committee has adopted a clause to its contract with all future host cities that affirms LGBT rights. The new contract requires those cities to follow the Olympic Charter's Principle 6, which states that any form of discrimination with regard to a country or a person on grounds of race, religion, politics, gender, or otherwise is incompatible with belonging to the Olympic movement. While sports bodies in some parts of the world are actively fighting homophobia, increasing pressure to follow suit is building on FIFA, the international governing body of the World Cup. The host countries for the next 2 global competitions are Russia in 2018 and Qatar in 2022. Russia's anti-LGBT policies are well known, but Qatar harshly punishes private, consensual, adult same-gender sexual relationships as violations of Islamic law or Sharia, the constitutionally mandated source of Qatari legislation.
Russia's constitutional court has upheld that nation's infamous so-called no-promo homo law. The decision, published on September 25th, found that the legislation was not intended to ban homosexuality as is and cannot be viewed as curbing the rights of citizens based on their sexual orientation. It also does not imply a ban on any information concerning unorthodox sexual relations. But the measure specifically outlaws propaganda of non-traditional sexual relations among minors, and since minors are likely to be present in most public settings or online, the law virtually bans any expression of support for the rights of LGBT people. Fines for providing information about homosexuality to people under the age of 18 range from 4,000 rubles for individuals to 1 million rubles for organizations or businesses. A trio of Russian activists, led by attorney Nikolai Alexeyev, had challenged the law. Alexeyev said he would add this case to other appeals involving Russian violations of LGBT rights that he's filed with the European Court of Human Rights.
South Africa's first welcoming mosque, where men and women of diverse races and sexual orientations worship together, was closed this week just a few days after it opened. The open mosque in Cape Town was cited for not having enough parking spaces. Founder Dr. Taj Harge, an imam and a professor of Islamic studies and African history at Oxford University, told the BBC that no one has the right to tell anyone what to believe in. This is a gender-equal mosque, autonomous and independent, he said, and it will remain so. A municipal bylaw requires a religious facility to have one parking space for every 10 worshippers. City Councilor Ganif Hendricks said Harge had not applied to convert the warehouse location to a mosque, a process that could take up to 6 months, and that there are issues of health and safety to consider. A coalition of 14 conservative Muslim groups across the country have condemned the open mosque as a cult and un-Islamic. Harge said that the city council is trying to close the mosque using ridiculous bylaws, and I will not be threatened by them or anyone else. But for now, the open mosque remains closed.
Grindr, an app through which gay men hook up or look for romance, has sent a message to all its Egyptian users warning that police officers may be posing as LGBT on social media to entrap you. The explicit warning follows reports in the past several days that authorities are using sophisticated new technology to monitor Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and other platforms to lure gay men to romantic meetings that turn out to be arrests. 6 men were sentenced this week to 2 years in prison at hard labor for advertising their apartment on Facebook as a place, for a price, where men could have sex with each other. 7 men were arrested earlier this month after being seen in a YouTube-posted video at what authorities called a gay wedding ceremony. All the men were charged with debauchery or indecency because there are no specific laws against same-gender sex in the predominantly Muslim country. The Grindr message further cautions its Egyptian users to please be careful about arranging meetings with people you don't know and be careful about posting anything that might reveal your identity.
In other news, France's highest court has ruled that married lesbians can adopt their partner's offspring born through in vitro fertilization or other medically assisted reproduction. France allows assisted reproduction only for heterosexual couples. Since last year's enactment of marriage equality, that restriction has sent many married French lesbian couples abroad, many of them to neighboring Belgium or Spain, to get fertility treatment. But until now, French law recognized only the birth mother as the legal parent. The Court of Cassation ruled this week that married lesbian couples can adopt each other's children born through assisted reproduction performed outside of France. Even though the decision is advisory, with no enforcement provisions, the High Court's edicts are usually treated as precedent by lower courts.
A judge in Louisiana has declared the state's ban on civil marriage for same-gender couples to be unconstitutional. Lafayette Judge Edward Rubin issued the ruling on September 22nd in a case involving a lesbian who wanted to adopt her wife's young son. The couple legally married in California. Rubin's ruling conflicts with a federal court ruling by Judge Martin Feldman in New Orleans in early September that broke a lengthy string of court victories for equality by upholding Louisiana's marriage ban. State Attorney General Buddy Caldwell immediately sought and received a stay of the Rubin ruling this week, pending an appeal.
U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder, who's been a strong champion of LGBT rights throughout his almost 6-year tenure, announced on September 25th that he's stepping down. He told NBC News the following day that, in what could be one of his last major actions, his Department of Justice will file papers urging the U.S. Supreme Court to declare marriage equality nationwide.
The brief will be consistent with the positions that we have taken in the past in support of same-sex marriage. I can't imagine that we would take any other position while this president is in office, and certainly as long as I am Attorney General or anybody who is my successor.
The High Court is considering, as this program is being distributed, whether to hear appeals of marriage equality rulings in a handful of U.S. states. The justices are not required to hear any appeal.
The U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, or EEOC, filed its first two transgender-related workplace bias cases this week. The Obama administration determined earlier this year that Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, an anti-sexism law that bans gender discrimination, also protects transgender people. The cases involve a Florida eye clinic and a Michigan funeral home. Each business fired a transgender employee because she was transitioning from male to female. The EEOC says the trans women were let go for not conforming to their employer's gender-based expectations, preferences, or stereotypes. The U.S. Human Rights Campaign called the lawsuits historic and said the commission deserves immense praise for tackling the issue head-on.
And finally, Brazilian schoolboys have stood up for a transgender classmate after she was fined for wearing an incorrect uniform. 17-year-old Maria Muniz, who recently came out as trans, had worn a skirt to school instead of the regulation boys' trousers. But then some of the girls' classmates decided to protest the policy by all wearing skirts to school. A photo of the supportively skirted group of male students has gone viral. The school got the message, saying in a statement that the current student code of ethics will be overhauled with the participation of the whole community, including the active participation of students who may suggest changes they deem necessary. Muniz says she was moved by the support. I am really happy about the way my classmates supported me, and I hope it serves as an example to others to feel encouraged to do the right thing, she said. Adding that, I was always taught at school to accept who you are. I am only trying to live that.
That's News Wrap for the week ending September 27th, 2014. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Sarah Sweeney.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
You'll hear a classic California commentary later in the program. Entertainer Neil Patrick Harris recently tied the knot with his longtime partner David Burtka, and he told Rosie O'Donnell and Whoopi Goldberg on ABC TV's The View all about it. And as you hear this, the U.S. Supreme Court may have already decided to take up marriage equality appeals from one or more states. Everybody says it's inevitable, and everybody's getting ready for it. So Comedy Central's Key and Peele came up with some family advice for uninitiated wedding planners.
Welcome, Johnson family. Now we all know why we're here. Cousin Delroy is getting married to a man, which is crazy. And we're in support, and we just need a little help with the particulars of a gay wedding. What I done is I took the initiative to get my friend Gary in here, who's, I mean, he's not really my friend, he's a coworker of mine who happens to be an active member of the homosexual community. Oh. And he's gonna give us some advice on what to do. So, Gary, what can we expect?
Well, first of all, guys, thanks so much for having me here. And I think it's really amazing what you guys are doing for your cousin Delroy. Really, I just wanted to say basically that a gay wedding is just like a straight wedding.
So then do the men wear dresses and then the women would wear suits?
No. You would just wear exactly what you would wear at a straight wedding.
Oh, okay. Yeah?
Now, none of us are gay. So I assume that we would all sit then in the straight section.
The straight section?
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, the straight section, he means as opposed to the gay section.
No, there's no sections, guys.
But the gay people...
No. What, you would just sit
and
on...
And in the straight...
No, Larry, listen to
but
me.
But in the aisle.
You would just sit on the side of the person that you were friends with or that your family's members, just like in a straight wedding.
So we just guess who's gay.
Or not. You could just... Yeah.
We guess who's gay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Guess who...
When in the ceremony do we sing Over the Rainbow?
Well, you don't. You don't. This is a religious ceremony, so you wouldn't be singing that during the service.
When do we sing YMCA?
Oh, sir, not during the ceremony.
Okay. What about Macho Man?
Nope.
I don't know where to buy no gay presents.
Well, I don't know what a gay present is. Usually what couples do is they just register at a store.
Huh.
Like a straight couple would.
Is it a gay store or?
Just a regular store.
Do we have to participate in the anal sex?
Oh!
Or can we just watch and cheer in a fireman's hat?
No, there's no anal sex and no fireman's hat.
Oh, okay.
When do we get to sing, "It's raining men, hallelujah, it's raining men"?
You don't.
So there's no gay hymns in the ceremony?
Sir, there's no such thing as a gay hymn.
Well, does the fake priest look like a real priest or like a nun?
It's gonna be a real priest.
Or?
No, there's no war.
Is it a sexy boat captain? Then he takes his clothes off.
Oh. What? No, no.
Do we throw something other than rice?
Like what, sir? What would you throw other than rice?
I don't know. Couscous. Skittles.
Guys, a gay wedding is just like a straight wedding, okay? It's exactly the same.
But when they kiss, is it okay to stand up and say, ew?
No, it's not, because that would be homophobic.
Just from the man who won't allow gay hymns at the gay wedding.
Okay, but like an involuntary gasp.
I would just, I guess, try to curb that behavior.
Okay, I'll look away then.
Oh, my God.
Now, is RuPaul gonna be there?
No, I don't think Delroy knows RuPaul.
Neil Patrick Harris?
No.
Ooh, Doogie. What if you don't want your picture on the internet?
This is ridiculous!
Gary. Ridiculous. Is that a gay term?
Okay, yep. I'll show myself out.
Oh, he's a little testy, isn't he?
He can go.
Good luck. Let's go, Stefan.
I think we pretty much got it.
Neil Patrick Harris is a married man. The Tony winner, 41, and David Burka, 39, tied the knot on Saturday in Italy. The couple, parents to twins Gideon and Harper, began dating more than 10 years ago. Both grooms wore custom Tom Ford tuxedos. Their friend and mentor, How I Met Your Mother producer and director Pam Fryman, officiated the ceremony. And talk about a wedding singer, Elton John performed at the reception.
Congratulations, married man.
Oh, thanks.
How about that?
Thank you.
First of all, David, a beautiful husband who I love and know for a long time. Listen, who would have thought when we were kids that we would be on a TV show with gay people talking about our spouses and children?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's come a long way, Chris.
Way.
I never gave it much thought. But as you say it, I realize it is a huge deal.
Yeah.
It's a huge deal. Congrats,
well,
baby.
Well, you know, we were really not trying to do it to have it elicit any kind of reaction from anyone. We just had been together over 10 years, and I think when our kids got to the age where they were having reasonable conversations, you know what I mean, where they're asking lots of why questions, then it seemed like to be able to have a real clear-cut explanation of who their daddy is, I think is great. And that he's my husband and that, you know, it was easier than partner or boyfriend or something like that.
Yes.
So it was, and it was nice. It was very small and intimate. Only about 45 people were there. And we did it a destination wedding kind of, so it kept the numbers down. And I just wanted to be able to say nice things about David, to David, in front of the people that matter the most to us, right?
Yes.
So it was less about a proclamation and more about a declaration that I was able to share in front of our kids and that he could do back for me. So
and
it was
so
just, it was a more intimate
kind of
thing.
To keep people together, right? To keep relationships together, standing in front of the one you love and the people who love you and saying, this is our goal, we're going to walk it together, and will you all help us get there? There's something beautiful.
And it was so crazy because when you watch other people say their vows, and they get all choked up, you think, come on.
Yeah, right.
Pull it together, man.
Yeah, really.
And then when you're standing there and it's you, and you have this piece of paper that's shaking and it's all around all the people who are really, that's the most exciting part of a wedding. And everyone's rapt attention at what you're gonna say. And you can't help but just get super duper choked up. I mean, I wasn't a crying mess or anything, but it's, they're important words that need to be heard by the person that you're speaking them to.
Yes.
And so you want to make sure that it's worded correctly and that you're saying it right. And that's a lot of intensity and emotion all wrapped up together.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
So it was fun.
And what did the babies think of it?
They were fun. Harper was the flower girl.
Good.
Gideon was supposed to be the ring bearer, but he said no, he didn't want to be the ring bearer. And we said, well, but you have a job, you need to do something. So he said, no, I'm the orange boy.
Oh.
And we said, what in the world is an orange boy? And he explained this whole thing, that he comes down with a basket of oranges, and he hands the oranges to everyone.
Right.
So we were trying to find a plan of like, okay, then we'll tie the rings to an orange.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll do that. And he was the orange boy. We walked down a long corridor to get to the thing because we were in this gorgeous, idyllic kind of smallish place in Italy. And Harper was going to go first and do the flower petals. And she's much more into Frozen and Tinkerbell and like
performing.
Right. So we thought, no problem. She'll go down and she'll do the flowers on the steps. She was very excited to throw flowers at people and then sit down at a bench. And then Gideon was going to come out and do the orange boy thing, which I was a little worried about. So we're about to start and the doors open, you know, and we go, Harper. And she doesn't go. She won't go. She panics and she's refusing to go and she's clinging to legs and she's starting to cry. Oh. And, you know, we're all stressed, like, you have to go now.
Right,
we've timed this to the sunset.
Right.
And so she doesn't go. And so we don't know. I say, David, let's just pick her up and we'll go.
Sure.
I'll go together. And David says, well, if Gideon goes first, then will you go? And I think, well, now what's going to happen?
Right.
And sure enough, Gideon goes, okay. And he picked up his little orange basket and by himself, he walked confidently all the way down about 20 steps, got halfway, and then just stopped. And we're behind him. You can do it, buddy. You got this. And then he just took a breath, and he walked all the way down, and that was that picture. He walks around, and he handed out oranges. I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind that I put down in words how wonderful life is while you're in the world.
Congratulations to newlywed Neil Patrick Harris, who chatted with Whoopi Goldberg and Rosie O'Donnell. And thanks to Key and Peele for the laughs.
I'm late for a very important date. No time to say hello, goodbye. I'm late.
On the go? Miss the show? This Way Out can offer you another way out. You can now hear the show on Stitcher, radio on demand. Check out the new Stitcher player at thiswayout.org and download the free app for your iPhone, Android, Nook, or iPad. Listen whenever and wherever, and give our voices a boost by rating and reviewing your favorite international LGBT radio show, This Way Out.
No time to say goodbye. Hello, I'm late.
Counted your blessings lately? Commentator Abby Dees has.
A little while back, my partner and I spent a few days in Big Sur, the jewel of the California coast. We hoped we might slough off some accumulated stress and maybe, detach from the chatter and whirr of our daily lives. It seemed to work. With meandering creeks and ancient redwoods on one side and an impossibly huge expanse of Pacific Ocean on the other, Big Sur invited us to do nothing but sit and soak it in, first staring one way, then the other, and back again. The awesomeness, and I mean that in its original non-Kardashian sense, defied words, except for, you know, awesome. There was only silence between the two of us, broken up by the occasional and feeble, God, aren't we lucky to be here? At an overlook, I even said this to a total stranger who replied, I was just thinking that. What a blessing. Sure, you can spend massive amounts of money for a cliffside room in Big Sur, but you don't need to. A car, a day off, and a willingness to accept whatever the day presents is pretty much all any Californian needs to be reminded of why everyone has heard of our state. Now, I'm a lifelong Californian, and this was only my second time in Big Sur. I'm an idiot, but that's not quite my point. Perhaps my point is, rather, that though there are few places grander on earth, Big Sur reminded me that moments of appreciation for life's gifts are available all the time if I'd only summon the comparatively paltry energy to seek them out. In short, it's not the view, but my willingness to see it. In the midst of our gee whiz reverie, I got an email from a friend we both love very much. He described in detail his regret about the lost opportunities of his life, and he despaired that the choices he made didn't pan out as planned. His boyhood dreams mock him now. We wondered how he would have felt if he were sitting there with us, watching the sun go down. Would it be as bad? It's not that we didn't take his sadness seriously. We did. Our hearts ached for him, and if we could have magically changed the past, we would have. But here we were, with dramatic proof that regardless of every hurt and insult, for most of us, it is possible at least to make the choice to stop, breathe, and experience beauty. It's there for the taking. Our friend still possessed the power of choice, and much more too. Security, health, freedom, and the love of some people in his life. Though much still lies ahead of him, I sensed that he could only see the past, which I do not deny was marked by injustice and pain. I know, though, that he is still a fortunate man. Really, my only wish for him is that he could feel it every once in a while, as Tracy and I did that week in Big Sur, and as we vowed to stop and notice more often, even when we're not in places that practically hit you over the head with something to be grateful for. Since this essay is supposed to have an LGBT theme, I'll now try to share what I think any of this has to do with our community. We're nowhere near where we know we should be when it comes to civil rights. In some places in the world, we're even going backwards. Russia, Nigeria, I'm talking to you. Many of us are still isolated in unsupportive communities or shunned by the very people we love. We should be fighting any urge to rest on the laurels of our latest amazing victories, and there have been a few. Gratitude for what's good, however, is something else entirely. To everyone, every day, whoever summoned the courage to stand up for justice, even when things appeared hopeless, I truly thank you for the freedom I too often take for granted. To every parent who chose to embrace your LGBT kid, even if you didn't understand the LGBT part, I thank you for tilting the universal scales a little more towards love. No matter what lies ahead, good or bad, may we all feel loved, blessed, fortunate, lucky, whatever you want to call it, and awed by the simple beauty of life on a regular basis.
This is Abby Deese, and this commentary was based on my syndicated column, Thinking Out Loud, distributed by Q Syndicate.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, Wenzel Jones, Sarah Sweeney, and Abby Deese contributed program material, with thanks, as always, to Steve Pride. Elton John performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks to Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trenton, and our generous listeners for making this program possible. Read news wrap transcripts, get program information, listen online, and more at thiswayout.org. And keep in touch through Facebook, Google+, and our blog. Follow TWO Radio on Twitter, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on 3BBB Ballarat, Victoria, WHYS Eau Claire, Wisconsin, KGHE Alma, Washington, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned!